Join us as we cover many an insane movie and numerous cult TV phenomenons. Are you ready to get jacked up? Are you with us? Then listen on.
I'm Ernie, he's Bert, but no, seriously, I am Cam, and here I got Michael Amlin from Pedestrian at Best on the show to talk about...
Happy to be here.
...two Nine Inch Nails band spinoffs. Short-lived, but pretty influential, nonetheless. We are talking first about A Perfect Circle, and then briefly discussing How to Destroy Angels, another spinoff band. So, more or less, Michael, tell us a little bit about how you kind of got into all this post-grunge industrial rock... hard metal electro rock bands.
Well, you know, I was a child of the 90s. I can remember MTV.
Like that's supposed to tell everyone everything all in just one sentence.
Well, I mean, I remember back in the 90s being a kid, MTV actually used to do, like, every year they do 500 greatest music videos, and it basically be the same first, like, I don't know, 5-6 years, I remember watching it. It was basically the same kind of, you know, 10 or 20 videos, but Closer, you know, was around back then for Nine Inch Nails. And even as a kid, I remember thinking, like, wow, this is really dark. Wow. And subversive. And I was like, I want to find out more about this.
Would you call these music, any of these kinds of songs and bands, to be very healing?
Certainly. I mean, you know, fast forwarding to kind of 1999, 2000, most people I remember were more excited to hear about what Tool is going to be doing. And when A Perfect Circle first dropped, I mean, there was a lot of hesitation around it, simply because most people were really excited to hear what Tool was going to do after Anima. But I think very quickly, people really came around to it. They realized, like, this is a very special project. And it really does show a different side of Maynard James Keenan you hadn't quite heard before.
Totally. And I mean... when A Perfect Circle, you know, got formed, you know, Maynard James Keenan, you know, again, pretty influential in Tool. Everyone respects his service in, I believe, U.S. Army. And then, again, Billy Hoberndal was a pretty well-set guitarist. And then Josh Froese, you know, had played drums with Nine Inch Nails as well. And...
I actually saw Nine Inch Nails with Josh Freese on drums. That's still the best concert I've ever seen in my life.
What year was this?
That was actually in 2009. They were touring for The Slip. And I mean, just the level of energy they had on stage, the effects. It was like on par with, like, I don't know, huge Broadway musicals. He had all kinds of crazy stuff going on up there. And to this day, I've never seen a better presentation as far as a performance goes.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, do you remember that video? what was that song on With Teeth?
Yeah, that was an NIN album.
The song. He actually had that video where he's kind of like going through that like electronic force. Somehow they were able to replicate that on stage. I don't know. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
And that's wild. And
for a live band.
It helped that they had already plugged this band, you know, Perfect Circle, back in a 2000 tour.
Yeah.
And what was the name of it? The name of it was Fragility Version 2.0. And
yeah, because the Fragile was huge.
It still kind of is in a way. There's still people who will play singles from it. And
oh, yeah.
I mean, this was then when Atticus Ross, who was one of the songwriters and record producers, was also getting into doing movies and other scores and side projects. And so I was never surprised when he and Trent, you know, again, are embracing it. I know shortly after, around, this was apparently the tour where Trent, like, had to get some drug rehab going. He had mistaken some, like, heroin for cocaine, and he couldn't stop, and that was affecting him.
As one does, you know.
He kicked it.
In that rock and roll life.
But, I mean, he really has come just such a long way, and I love how he just would, you know, every year he's just always coming out with something. I loved how he used a lot of his free-to-use album Ghosts for that Kim Burns awesome documentary, the Vietnam War. I was like, okay, cool. So he believes in this project and wants to make it easy to come by. And like you say, I mean, these guys put on just such an extravagant show. I mean, I was even setting up a concert. I didn't see them, but I heard them. And a few years back, and it's like, there's just something about just the endless, for lack of a better word, just a different kind of life just goes through the room, and you just feel like, whatever it is, I want to be a part of it. I want to see what they're doing. I want to acknowledge them. I mean, I even listened to their music to get over a bunch of deaths in my family a few different times. And it really does work. I mean, just hearing that music, you kind of just feel you don't feel angst anymore. You just feel the coming to terms with acceptance kind of from their material. And Perfect Circle. Sorry, go ahead.
That's definitely huge for Perfect Circle. I think that kind of redemptive healing quality is kind of like I don't want to say it's their biggest strength, but that's a big part of the draw. And I think a lot of people responded to that.
And given how they're from Tool, there would be times where Perfect Circle would be playing on the radio. And I kid you not, I would be thinking, oh, I'm hearing Tool. I was like, kind of.
Not exactly. Yeah, I mean, with Judith being that first single, I think people thought a lot more of it was going to be, you know, kind of hard rock.
Judith, The Outsiders, another single that gets played. And
right.
Someone had worked with Marilyn Manson, and I mean, you look at their new album that came out in like 2017, Eat the Elephant, that looks totally like a Manson type cover.
Yeah. And Eat the Elephant, man, I've tried with that album. I don't know. I
haven't heard it.
I'm not a big fan. I don't have a lot of nice things to say about it.
Was it just too different for their own good?
I appreciated what they were trying to do. I wasn't very pleased with the final product.
So it seems like, sorry, go ahead.
I think when you take that long of a break, I don't know. I was kind of hoping they were going to come back a little more, with a little more energy. Mirror Gnomes and 13th Step both are pretty, there's a lot of kind of softer qualities, but there's also like some really cool, like you said, The Outsider, songs like that.
Just Freeze has another terrible album to be proud of besides Guns N' Roses' Chinese Democracy.
Well, that never happened. I've
blanked that out.
I just don't think about that.
That's interesting to say that, because it seems like, yeah, after 2006, and you saw them in 2009, so by that time they were just touring nonstop, going off the earlier hits and then just coming back in the early, in the late 2010s.
Yeah, they did the, they did that out. They did like the live where they played the albums front to back. That was pretty cool.
But what would that, you that like was kinda... to see them do since like, okay. So better yet, how would you describe that album? Cause again, they're sounding like they're doing very similar, just experimental stuff like NIN. And then they're doing all this Tool type vocals and material that they're singing about. So where do you think they're
going to go? Eat the Elephant. I mean, I remember reading an interview with Maynard. And he was saying him and Billy would just kind of send him demos of just him playing piano. And he was like, no, I really only want to hear the piano, just a little bit of drums. I mean, I think he was really trying to get away from any sort of guitar-based rock, which I totally understand. I mean, you're coming off of...
He wants to do anti-music.
Right. But you're coming off of, like, two, you know, huge Tool albums, tours, stuff like that. I mean, I can understand his want to really separate the two. And I mean, I still think the Doomed is a pretty cool song. Disillusioned is, you know, every once in a while I'll listen to some of those, but I never want to listen to the album front to back, which is totally different. Like I won't listen to Perfect Circle, outside of the albums. Like if I'm putting on Mariner Gnomes or putting on 13th Step, that's, I'm listening to the whole thing, you know?
It just kind of is the way you got to take it. Cause yeah, I mean, even the Outsider and Judas, that's like just only a segment of what they can do. And
right.
I definitely got their first album somewhere in my iTunes library from what I recall. I can check it. But I mean, when alternative rock was becoming bigger and bigger, and it's like at this point I was down for the count. I was set. I was digging it. And it's definitely rare for these kinds of bands to just still be pretty big despite not being as active.
Yeah, I mean they definitely were influenced by bands that had those kind of huge cult followings that would you know, be willing to wait for a new release. I mean, these guys were big into Pink Floyd, The Cure.
Cure, definitely, yeah.
You know, Billy Howerdale, when I was a kid, I mean, I remember reading, you know, guitar player interviews with them, and he was the one that kind of got me into The Cure and really going back and listening to his early Cure albums, like 17 Seconds, Faith, Pornography, and even like just kind of sci-fi stuff. He was like, yeah, I was really into Blade Runner and things like that. And I remember thinking like, what the hell? Why? But, you know, even as a young kid, I went and watched that movie. I was like, oh, I get it now. So that's what he was trying to approximate in those songs. And I think with Maynard, I've always loved the way he approaches lyrics. He'll use a lot of kind of like biblical imagery. Like if you look at the some of the song titles of Mariner Gnomes, he'll bring in kind of like Greek mythology, you know, people, biblical figures and things like that. I don't know. I don't hear a lot of that from, you know, certainly lyricists of today's music, not nearly as much. And that's something that stands up.
I think they could totally come back with like a double tour, but I don't know what other band they could tour with who's still hot. Maybe Shovel, maybe some other.
I mean, the easiest thing probably for them would be to take somebody like the Smashing Pumpkins, or if Trent Reznor wants to resurrect Nine Inch Nails or How to Destroy Angels. You know, the two or three of them could go out there together.
It could be a featuring special guest, a Perfect Circle. And he's like, okay, so you're all part of the group. He's like, Trent's doing a show and they just come on in as a surprise guest.
Yeah. I mean, Billy could be the guitar tech for everybody. Which he was. I mean, that's one of my favorite stories is when he was teching for Nine Inch Nails, he said like Trent Reznor just like, threw this Gibson Les Paul, broke the headstock, Billy repaired it. And that was like the guitar he wrote, you know, those early hits on. So that's cool.
So So I think that's a good segue here for How to Destroy Angels. So same kind of deal. I'm just hearing about them from classmates, you know, in college, especially my final year, and I want to say 2010. So, and it was interesting in that. So this was a cool band in that, what's her name? The lead singer from West Indian Girl, which is another kind of cool band that tours here and there. Mudda Queen, My Dig.
Yeah.
And she, yeah, was with Rob Sheridan, who had done the graphic design and art design, believe it or not, for all the NIN album covers. And for whatever reason, yeah, he, I don't know exactly what he contributed as a member, but yeah, they had just one album. The rest were EPs, like many electro rock bands. But this was another one. Is like what I heard, I really dug, and they did some occasional music videos, some that were by big blockbuster movie directors, and even appeared on the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo album, which made sense. Trent was scoring that, so sneak in.
Yeah, and David Fincher was always, I guess, just kind of friends with these people, because I mean, he even did like Perfect Circle, Judith video, stuff like that.
Yeah. I saw that they toured with the other NIN side project, Tapeworm, and yep. Charlie Closer, who's also gone on to do movies. And
yeah.
But yeah, like you, I mean, I just came into just casually like Perfect Circle, and I was like, you know, I don't mind this at all. I think this is really intriguing and it's going to go somewhere. And even when it didn't necessarily, I mean, it was still just intriguing to just hear them get occasional movie or commercial appearances. And it just was so mystical, just how it sounded. And I was like, yeah, you know, she's got a cool voice, so good on her.
Yeah. I mean, good on Trent. I mean, apparently they've got five children together, so they're having, you know, that's awesome.
Yeah,
it's not really somebody I expected to want to have like a family.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah,
you know, that's cool. I think a funny thing about little like Wikipedia snip about West Indian Girl is they appeared in Playboy magazine as a becoming attraction.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
that's pretty funny.
Whatever you feel comfortable with.
Right. How to Destroy Angels. I mean, my introduction to them was, you know, I used to read pitchfork.com quite a bit. And I remember one of the news things saying that Trent Reznor was starting a new band because he had pretty much quit playing live. I mean, he made a big deal about doing a final Nine Inch Nails tour. You know, this is it. I'm just going to do studio stuff. I'm just going to do film scores. And then not quickly, but fairly soon he announced this band. And, I remember thinking like, well, cool. I just like hearing him do music. So I'm along for the ride, pretty much whatever he's going to do. And, with that first EP, to me, it sounded like a continuation of what he had been doing towards the end of the last couple of Nine Inch Nails albums. But Mary Queen has a really unique voice.
This wasn't a John Lennon and Yoko Ono situation.
No, it was actually like cool.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, I don't know.
My favorite part that I've seen in that Beatles Get Back documentary is when Yoko Ono is like doing her thing, and you see like the, I think it's like Paul's kids are looking around like, what the hell's going on?
What's Ma doing? Yeah.
They didn't put out a lot of material. I think they expected it maybe to be more successful commercially, but it still was awesome. Probably my favorite song by them, I would say maybe The Believers. But I don't know. What's yours?
Believers I'd put in there somewhere. But I probably also would, with some of those other singles, I could list.
That. I mean, that first like EP, just that self-titled one, I think was kind of like, I don't know, probably, to my, in my opinion, probably their coolest stuff. But
I think I remember a drowning in the space in between a little
bit. Those are awesome.
Even though
I re-listened to it today. Like I was at work and just had it on. I was like, man, I've not listened to this in like over 10 years, but it's great.
It was cool how they even had some exclusive tracks that you could only get through iTunes. So it would be interesting to see. Some of them were just ones that already been played on for Welcome Oblivion. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. But yeah, The Believers and A Drowning are on there. And I like how they'd been played on movies like Limitless and the TV show Hannibal. But I definitely recall, I think, On the Wing and Ice Age. But just back to your original point, I think, again, they were posted for streaming on Pitchfork in 2013. But what would they be like now had they come out during the Spotify age? You know, it's like all the stuff we were predicting, you know, is so different that we're just kind of catching up to what we missed a decade ago. We had a rough transition there technologically.
I mean, MySpace was still like a promotion place back then, even back then. Yeah, it's really different now. I don't know. You almost have to be half reality TV star, half musician. I read a really good like Tegan and Sarah interview. They were talking about how so much of their time is just on online promotion, like doing these little Instagram stories, things like that. And they're like, yeah, it's exhausting. You know, everybody's a public figure now.
I'm glad that they didn't have to go there. I'm glad that they didn't have to have a stupid, you know, coming to E, you know, living with Trent.
Right.
So yeah, right place, right time. And then just, if that's it, it's not bad. Maybe get out while you can, go on to another thing. But I think that's also just the way to do it, is like, just do a cat. Cause I mean, Foo Fighters did that, you know, just like Crooked Vultures and everything, and a few other side projects with Tenacious D. So, I mean,
yeah, them Crooked Vultures. I mean, that came out of nowhere. I don't know. All these people were, this was like kind of the height of their popularity, even after the height of their popularity.
I think you totally just, you hit the nail on the head. That's totally what it is. And people want more. That's already a good thing. And even if you don't deliver that, many other ways this could have ended, and let's be happy it didn't end tragically.
Yeah. No, I mean, they if they wanted to, they could totally put out music now. But I think mostly what Trent and Atticus do is just more of the film stuff, which is, you know, been pretty much awesome. I hope they'll do more work.
Let's hope. Where can we find you on the web, my friend? Pedestrian.
You can find Pedestrian at Best you can go right to our website, pedestrianbestpodcast.com. You can add us on Twitter at Pedestrian. Search for us on Instagram, just search Pedestrian at Best. Those are pretty much our three main areas. We try to do new episodes bi-weekly. Sometimes we're not able to put stuff out. Matt and I work kind of crazy schedules, but if you want to add us, please do. We love talking to people and hanging out. As far as about the show, it's pretty much like this. I mean, we just kind of talk about different music and movies and culture and things that we're into.
Whatever makes you click, yeah.
Yeah, so definitely add us. Thank you so much for having me on, Cam. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here and just summing up the cult fandom. That's what we aim to do.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully we can do the cult next time.
Oh, yeah. There you go. A death cult. No, I'll put it on an actual cult here.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much.
Anytime.
We'll return after these messages.
Hey. Feeling down? Feeling low? Not enough podcasts about movies in your life? Why not try?
They must be destroyed on sight!
The new podcast cure-all, sure to get you right with the world and on a path to better living. We have exploitation, we have Italian horror, we have zombies, we have slashers, we have crime films, we have spaghetti westerns, we even have sci-fi and sex comedies. So take a dose of
They Must Be Destroyed on Sight
as needed, and let the hosts Lee Russell, Daniel Harper, Paul Romali, and the odd guest host cure what ails you.
Warning, may cause atrophy, African consumption, black fever, bone shave, chin cough, colic, cramp colic, dropsy of the brain, elephantitis, grocer's itch, jaundice, mania, miasma, mortification, palsy, Pott's disease, rheumatism, scurvy, St. Anthony's fire, summer complaint, and worm fit in some people. Consult a physician before listening.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this?
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am, in the most sincerest of senses, disappointed in you.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie, jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it. Oh, I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that.
Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get out of.
It's unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you shouldn't be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this movie.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist.
Watching this film again, I had all of this like little nerd glee with everything that kept
little history
up.
Doll yeah, popping up
absolutely.
At you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was.
How
be
did
a rough
you watch
one.
This shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
Hey everybody, I'm Corey
and I'm Zach. And we're the hosts of Podcasting After Dark, a cast dedicated to late-night horror and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, often found on HBO and Cinemax.
You know, the movies your parents didn't want you watching as a kid. You can find us every other week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and Stitcher.
This is what you want.
This is what you get.
Greetings, friends. My name is Dean Legiro, and I'm the host of the 3324 Podcast. I invite you to join me and my lifelong friend Eric Huber to come with us as we discuss the music and movies that shaped our life. Each week, we'll pick an album or film that we really connect to, and not only give you some great info and trivia, but also discuss, debate, and celebrate what it means to us and the journey it took us on. We also look forward to hearing from you and giving us some of your picks for us to check out and discuss. I think it'll be a really fun experience, so come along with us for the ride. You can find us on your favorite podcast provider, and at 3324.buzzsprout.com. Thanks for your time, and welcome to the 3324 family.
It's time, let's check our cue, baby. Pair it with a couple brews, baby. We love good movies. We love the bad ones, too. So we watch them all and pass their lessons on to you. Oh, yeah.
Everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy. With a one-liner plot holes and gratuitous movies, it's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy.
At EILFM.podbean.com.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jack-